You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Could it be you calling me down, 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 down? That foolish heart.
Welcome to another episode of the Sports Mecca podcast. I'm your host, Stephen Abramo. As always, I'm joined by my partner, Sam Hengeli. We're changing course a little bit today. We are talking Kansas City Chiefs football as they head into the bye week. To give us a better understanding of the 2021 season so far, we have brought in KC Kingdom Chiefs writer, Kaden Carbajo. Kaden, thanks for coming on and joining Sam and I show. We appreciate the time.
It's a pleasure. Anytime I'm able to do stuff like this, it's always an honor to be invited on to something like this.
Of course. As I mentioned in the intro, this podcast is really going to focus on the Chiefs as they enter the bye week. They enter the bye week 7-4. And if you've been focusing on the Chiefs like we all have, it's not been a smooth 7-4. It's a lot of tumultuous ups and downs. It hasn't been smooth. The Chiefs are entering the bye on a 4-game win streak, but they started the season 3-4. A lot of mixed emotions that came from the fans, especially from the media, maybe discussing if the Chiefs weren't as strong after 2 back-to-back seasons of making the Super Bowl and winning the Super Bowl in 2019. Some people have thought the Chiefs weren't going to make the playoffs. Some have thought the Chiefs, aren't good as they are. They've had a couple of close losses early in the season with the Ravens and Chargers, but blowouts to the Bills and Titans. Kind of get both of your guys' thoughts on how you've viewed this season now that they've played 11 games and what your thoughts are.
Yeah. Yes, Steve. It's been a up and down season for the Kansas City Chiefs. They kind of like fell back a little bit down to earth just slightly. Maybe that Super Bowl hangover, it can be a real thing. Sometimes you can definitely tell with like Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce dropped a lot of passes where normally the last 3 years they'd be catching and Mahomes, he's been trying to do a little bit too much. And I kind of wonder if some of those drop passes like early in the season, the fumbles has gotten to his head and he's like starting to overthink a little bit more than he did in the past few years. The first 7 games defensively was a disaster as they gave up 28 points per game. But thankfully, the last 4 games, they've only given up 11.7 points per game. And I think the reason was at the beginning of the year, they weren't healthy. Willie Gay was out. We didn't have Frank Clark to start the season. Chris Jones was playing banged up and out of position. So I think getting the defense healthy again and getting guys in the right positions been one of the reasons why the Chiefs have defense has stepped up. And thankfully they did have to face like a Daniel Jones and then Jordan Love, but they did step up arguably the best offense in the Dallas Cowboys and only gave up 9 points. So I definitely think that the Chiefs defense is heading in the right direction. And I think it's only going to be a matter of time until the offense gets it together. I think the bye week is going to help a lot on that. The offense figured out and come up with new schemes. The rest of their schedule, I think worst case scenario, they can be 12-5. And I think it is very possible that they can win out and be 13-4 and be in position to maybe get the 1 seed with how the AFC's played out.
Yeah, I think it's very interesting. Like 1 week our offense is up and 1 week our defense is up. I don't think we've ever seen one game where we've had both sides be elite. Like, I mean, you could probably argue the past couple weeks with the Raiders gave up 14 points, but having the offense score 41 points in that game, they really showed up in a big way. But with Mahomes this year, I mean, in his earlier games, he hasn't really done that well. He has the most interceptions in the league so far, and it hasn't really showed. But last week against Dallas, he's done really well. And so I think you can kind of see where that has shifted to where both sides of the ball can play that very well. And whenever your players start to turn on the fans, like you remember what Tyrann Mathieu said about like the fans are like a disgrace or something like that to the team. We just kept turning on them. And this defense, you know, Daniel Sorensen, I mean, he had the huge pick against the Raiders. That was really great to see.
The most toxic fan base in sports is what Tyrann Mathieu said about the Chiefs fan base. You know, Caden, you mentioned, you know, Mahomes, his 11 turnovers are the most in the league, but it's weird because when you watch the games, like if you just like check the box score and see Mahomes 11 interceptions, not all those interceptions have been horrible passes. 7 of them have been right off the receiver's hands, whether it's been Travis Kelce's, Tyreek Hill's. You know, early in the season, it was like Marcus Kemp and Darrell Williams. I saw a stat on Next Gen Stats NFL, you know, his interception against the Cowboys. They tracked some of these stats and they say Mahomes' pass that was intercepted against the Cowboys had a 75% chance of being completed. And 7 of his 11 interceptions have had a 75% chance of being completed. So it might not tell the whole story that all of his interceptions have just been him making horrible decisions. I don't think he's been as sharp as he has in the past, but you also look at he has 25 touchdowns, which I believe is 2nd in the league, and he has the most passing yards. So he's been able to make up for it. But I want to try to transition into just the focus on the defense. Sam, you mentioned your opinions on the shift to the defense. Did you think the defense was really the worst in the NFL? And did you think that they were going to make a big turnaround after the first 7 games? Or did you expect them to make improvements and get to the point right now? Because the past 4 games, it looks like they've been the best defense in the league.
Yeah, I think I expected them to make some improvements. I think Steve Spagnuolo, I mean, he's one of the best defensive coordinators in the NFL. And when you think about that, you don't think that they're going to like be as bad for the whole year. It was like at an unsustainable pace. And I think with some of the injuries, once you get your team fully healthy, it definitely helps you a lot. In the NFL, you have to be healthy the whole year to be able to be successful. And now the Chiefs are at that point where they are healthy. And I think that they're just going to keep getting better. Nick Bolton, too, that he has been a steal this year. And he's one of the best defensive players in the league right now in the AFC as a rookie. And he's been a huge impact. He's 22nd right now in tackles, which is pretty good so far for his campaign as a Kansas City Chief. Javarius Sneed, too, has looked like an all-pro cornerback this year and one of the best in the league. And I think his impact has been sensational. You know, making that pick last week. And then also, he's a heart. He'll go after people. Like, he's not afraid to get physical. And that's something that the Chiefs need because they've had that perception a little bit this year that they're a little too soft. And Javarius Sneed kind of like flipped it a little bit with his physicality. And I think that's a very good thing for this defense.
When you talk about the guys that they brought in, like Melvin Ingram, I don't think he's been like their go-to guy to make all the tackles, but he's been in about pretty much most of the plays. I mean, he did start last week. I think that was a good thing to see. But when you look at like all the interceptions that our secondary has been making, we're not getting burned on every play. Like when Tyrann Mathieu throws up his hands, it doesn't give you much confidence in the defense, but that has since stopped. And we've seen all these big plays being made by the defense when our offense is okay. It's not where it obviously has been in past years, but it's great. It's great to see that both sides of the ball are playing up to par and the defense is not the worst in the league anymore.
So, you know, Caden mentioned the offense. I don't know really a good term to say it. It's not lethal like it has been in the past. I would say it's a work in progress. You know, I mentioned to you guys about some maybe misconception of Patrick Mahomes this season. I don't think he's been as good, but I think some of the mistakes haven't been all his fault. What are your thoughts on the offense so far? It's had its moments early in the season where it put 35 points and 33 in the first 2 games. And then 42 or 41 against the Raiders, and then 19 against the Cowboys. The Packers was probably one of the worst games I've watched in the Mahomes era, where they only scored 13 points, but won the game because of their defense. What have you kind of made about the offense as a whole?
When I'm looking at like all the numbers that Mahomes has put out there, we have a rookie center right now. And for him to block and do all the things that Creed Humphrey has been able to do, it's going to limit your turnovers. And even though we haven't seen Pat do these turnovers as much in these recent games, the play that always stands out to me and how everybody has said was that last pass against the Packers when he threw it to Tyreek Hill for 13 yards. He was pumping his fist. That's sort of the plays that we have seen from Patrick Mahomes in the past, where he just throws it and makes it look easy like he did during that play. I don't know if you remember that play happening, but
yeah, definitely. I think it's funny. I was listening to Nick Wright and he was like, just talking about that play. Like, he was like, oh, this is like the play where he gets the yips out of him. And it seems like that definitely against the Raiders, it definitely showed. He still last week, he did hold the ball a little bit too long at times, but he did play it a lot better and the offense played a little bit better. And we also, I also want to give Dallas Cowboys a lot of credit defensively. I think Micah Parsons is an elite talent and Dorian Armstrong's played really well too. And of course, Trayvon Diggs is one of the best corners in the league right now. So I put that into account that the Cowboys do have a pretty solid defense. And also Creed Humphrey, I mean, he deserves to be offensive rookie of the year. He probably won't get it because people do not respect the offensive line as much in the NFL as they should. But I mean, I remember watching this dude at Oklahoma blocking two guys at one time. This dude is an elite offensive lineman. He's been elite at center position. And I think that's it's definitely helped this team so far this year and improving the O-line, which was an emphasis. And also I want to talk about the turnovers. Chiefs this year have 22 giveaways. And that averages 2 points per game. I'll put it into context this way. So Frank Mason, Devontae Graham in their four-year college career at KU averaged 1.9 turnovers a game. So the Chiefs so far this year are averaging more turnovers a game than two former college basketball point guards, which in basketball, it's more common to have like three turnovers a game for a guard. But in football, averaging two as a team is pretty horrendous. The Chiefs are 7-4 right now going into the bye week with as bad as the turnovers have been to be 7-4 in this position with the AFC not being so good this year. It definitely gives me some peace and comfort thinking that I feel like the Chiefs can turn around and be able to get these things fixed up. And with everybody else being like not as everybody thought they would be with the other teams in the AFC, it definitely feels a lot better position than we were after the Titans game week 7.
For sure. Now, Sam, you brought up a good point about the rest of the AFC not looking as good. Well, there was a time when the Chiefs were 3-4 and they had all the head-to-head losses against the Bills, the Titans, the Ravens. Titans at one point were 8-2. They had a healthy Derrick Henry. He's out for the year. But at the time, I think most Chiefs fans were thinking, okay, are they going to make the playoffs? And if so, what wild card seed are they going to be? Are they going to be a 6 or 7 seed? Things have changed, not only obviously for the Chiefs because they've won 4 in a row, but the AFC playoff picture has completely tilted in the Chiefs' favor. Bills are no longer the AFC East leaders. They're 6-4, and they've suffered several tough losses to the Jaguars and then a blowout. The Titans just this past week came off a loss to the Texans, and then the Ravens, who are still, they're 7-3. I don't think they have been as dominant as they've been in the past couple weeks, but the AFC seems like it can be maybe possibility the Chiefs maybe get a 2 seed. If they finish the second half strong, what are your thoughts on, just take the Chiefs out of the equation, just how the AFC has kind of unfolded and how some of these teams at the top have not looked as good as the season's gone on?
It is very good to see that the Chiefs are up there in the top teams, and because they weren't beginning the season, like you just said. What strikes me is like the Chiefs have lost to the Titans in Baltimore. So those are 2 losses. Clyde fumbled against the Ravens and I don't even know what that Titans game was, but they're going to have to keep losing more because they own the tiebreaker. And that's going to be really crucial for us to keep winning these games. And we'll see how they come out of the bye week. With the Sunday night game, that's the Broncos game that just got flexed to the Sunday night game. And so I think that'll be hyped up a lot more than it's just a regular old divisional game for the Chiefs. That's going to be a big time matchup for the Broncos, who have seen some flashes this year, but it just, you can never count any team out in this league. It's too much parity this year. We've seen the Patriots are up there. They have a new quarterback. It's their second quarterback in 2 years. No team is ever out of a game.
I think the one thing, good thing, even though the Chiefs have those losses against the Bills and the Ravens, those are 2 of the top teams, and then also the Titans as well. However, it's the Chiefs have been able to beat the teams that they're supposed to beat. They haven't really been upset this year by like the Titans losing to the Texans last week or the Bills losing to the Jaguars. So the Chiefs have done a good job of winning the games that they're supposed to win. Even no matter like the Giants game, even though it was an ugly win, they still were able to finish the job and get it done. So that's the one thing. It's not just about beating the top teams. It's about beating anybody who's in front of you, because anybody can be beaten on any given Sunday. So the Chiefs have done a really good job of winning the games that they should be able to win. I still think the one seed is still up for grab right now. I think if the Chiefs win out, go 13-4, I think it's a very good chance that they get the one seed. But they'll at the very least get the two seed locked up if they at least win out no matter what. But the way that the AFC has played out, and then you look at some of the schedules, like Tennessee still has to go to New England and Pittsburgh, and the Baltimore still has the Browns, I think, still. I'm not going to quite count out the Browns yet, even though they don't look as great right now. But also other teams, they have probably a little bit tougher schedule right now versus the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs, even though Denver's play a little bit better, I still think that the Chiefs will win those two, and then they'll beat the Raiders. I think the Chargers game and maybe the Bengals game is like really the two toughest games. And those two games are very winnable. I think game that they would likely lose if I had to choose would be the Chargers in LA on a short week. I think they can definitely beat the Chargers on the road in a SoFi Stadium. And I think 13-4 is very possible to getting the one seed the way that this whole AFC has played out.
Exactly. You know, Sam, you made a good point about the Chiefs. The teams that, at least talent-wise, better than they've beat. And hey, they can also, no matter how the season goes, the Chiefs can always hang a banner that they're NFC East champs. They're 4-0 against the NFC East this year. But Sam, you mentioned a little bit about how you figure out how they maybe finish the season. We have really talked about how the Chiefs have a little bit of a softer schedule. You know, the Broncos and Raiders, both at home, coming after the bye. At Cincinnati and at Denver are really the two road games that they have to worry about. They get to play the Pittsburgh Steelers at home. At LA is probably going to be the toughest game. Not a lot of top teams that they have to play the rest of the way. Some potential playoff teams with the Chargers and the Bengals and the Steelers, but there is no elite team left on their schedule. Caden, how do you view their win-loss record, you know, the last remaining games of the season? Do you think they can go 13-4 or maybe a 12-5, 11-6? Record more likely? Do they slip up a couple more games?
Well, it certainly helps when four out of your last six games are against division opponents, and it's the teams that we know how to play. I mean, we know how to play these teams. We played them twice a year before, and so I think they can go 13-4, because when you play the Steelers, I mean, you got a struggling Ben Roethlisberger who has not shown that he can be elite this year. I mean, he tied with the Lions. That game was kind of sloppy. I mean, other than that, I don't think he's up to par where he was. And then the Bengals, you know, they got Joe Burrow. He's an up-and-comer. All these games, you see, like, there's not much star power, like you said. I mean, I think the Chiefs can definitely take advantage of the teams that are remaining on their schedule.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm definitely not sold at all on Pittsburgh. I think they're going to miss the playoffs. I think Ben Roethlisberger he's just like old, and they've also had a lot of injuries as well. I think too that they're losing TJ Watt last week had really killed them defensively and given up a lot more points than they normally would. But I want to go back to the Chargers. Chargers are a good football team. Justin Herbert looks like he may be the future, part of the future of the league with Mahomes in the AFC West. When I watched the Chiefs really lost to the Chargers, those turnovers were the reason why they really lost that game. Like, you think about like those first two drives, they pretty much went empty handed, just gave away the ball. One of them was just like Kemp just dropped it, and the Chargers made a really good play on the ball and got the interception. And Edwards-Helaire fumbles it. So both of those were in the 30-yard line. I can't imagine the Chiefs doing that again the second time, making those same mistakes. And also, I also consider this. Playing it at the Chargers becomes like a second home game too, because we look at the Chargers, all their home games, we see like more opposing fans than actual Chargers fans at those games. And we saw in Vegas where there was a lot more red than black in the stands. So I really anticipate that being the same thing in LA when the Chiefs do go play the Chargers, that it could be a second home game with the atmosphere. I put that into account, so that makes me feel good. Denver did beat Dallas this year in Dallas, so we definitely cannot take Denver as a lot more seriously. We cannot overlook them for sure. We've had a hard time scoring against Denver. I mean, last year we did put up like 22, and I'm not sure what Mahomes' stats against Denver is, but he definitely has some struggles against them. in his career against Denver, in my opinion. But I definitely feel good about this schedule going forward. You couldn't ask for a better like back half post bye week. And I think the rest will help. I think that getting everybody mentally more ready to go for this last stretch of the season will be very helpful.
As we really come down the home stretch of this episode, I want to get both of your guys' thoughts on what you are looking for in the Chiefs. What are you really wanting the Chiefs to work on and improve on as the second half hits? And then also anything that maybe I haven't mentioned or you guys haven't mentioned that you're still chomping at the bit to talk about regarding the Chiefs.
I mean, I think we just got to help limit the turnovers on the offensive side of the ball. And let's make sure our defense plays well as they were the past couple games. I just want to see a clean game on both sides. Limit the turnovers on offense, and hopefully the defense can keep doing what they've been doing the past couple games.
Yeah, definitely. I also think, too, I want to see the Chiefs use the run game more. I think with Clyde Edwards-Helaire back from injury, I think it's time to use him a little bit more. Get the defenses, like, thinking more. I think we've relied too much on the passing game, and that's why defenses have had two safeties back as well, because they expect the Chiefs to – want to look for the long ball and try to throw it every pass they can on every down. And I think if you change it up, use the run game more. We saw that last year when the Chiefs played the Bills in Buffalo. They ran the football a lot. They used CEH a lot, and they were able to win that game because they were able to run the football. I think they need to prove to teams that they are very dangerous running the ball as well, and that will just open up the passing game as well. And I just want to see how teams, will they stick with the two safeties when the running game gets going, and then they might have to change their scheme up a little bit, which will open up the long ball in the future for the Chiefs, which they want to try to do. I think right now just continue to just try to take what the defense gives you and try to open up the running game and get Edwards-Helaire going offensively.
It might not be sexy. It might not be the big explosive home run plays that the Chiefs offense has been built on early in the Mahomes era, but the Raiders didn't give that too deep look as much. So the Chiefs were able to exploit it and get a lot of big plays. But for the most part, the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes, they have to stay disciplined, and they actually were able to run the ball effectively. I thought they should have ran it more against the Cowboys. They had 5-6 yard gains from Darrell Williams, Edwards-Helaire. I think the Chiefs, if they can focus more on running it, you know, they have a great interior line with Trey Smith and Humphrey really anchoring it, paving those big lanes. I would like to see more run plays. And I don't know about the options. We had some interesting option plays against the Cowboys. You had the obviously the Edwards-Helaire touchdown where he got the one of the egregious taunting penalties. But then, you know, Mahomes should have kept it on a play that should have been bounced to the outside, pitched to the outside Edwards-Helaire, and it got stopped by Micah Parsons. So maybe not do as much option plays, but I would stick to a lot of running in between the tackles. But you know, with that said, guys, is there really anything that you guys want to get off your chest regarding the Chiefs that you haven't really mentioned?
Not Chiefs, but can I just talk about NFL in general?
Yes. Is this going to be about the referees?
No. I do think that the officiating has been terrible this year. But thankfully, thankfully that New York calls in and gets things right sometimes. But I want to talk about the NFC real quick. I don't think people are talking about, oh, Tampa Bay, they're the clear favorites making a Super Bowl. No, I don't agree with that at all. Why do I don't agree with that? I mean, they didn't really improve as much in the offseason. They really kept with their same team. I think Arizona is a better team than the Buccaneers right now, especially with the fact that the Arizona Cardinals have not been healthy at all this year. I mean, they've been starting Colt McCoy, the legendary college quarterback, and they're still winning. And they've been winning it with their defense, and their defense hasn't been healthy as well either on both sides. So I think that people need to pause the brakes on Tampa Bay, even though Tom Brady has 7 Super Bowl rings. That's really their only argument at this point. But from a football standpoint, the Cardinals are a better team than the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And I think that they're not getting as much love as they should be getting. And I think that Arizona is the favorite, clear favorite in the NFC. And I hopefully they get it done. And I also think that Green Bay has a pretty good chance. I would not throw them out either, because Aaron Rodgers can play, and they got a and their defense has played really well as well this year. And that's my a little bit of a rant on the NFC and these people who think that the Buccaneers are the clear favorites to winning, going back to the Super Bowl, which I do not see at all right now.
My thing is on the Chiefs. You know, they got to limit their penalties. The reasons why, I mean, that's part of the reason why we kept losing in those previous games is because we kept getting these penalties called back. And I think you've kind of seen in the past couple of games when penalties might have not been a factor. We played clean ball, and that's just what we have to do. I mean, the offense, they can't pass interference calls on them, and the defense, same thing. We just got to play clean ball the rest of the way and have both the sides of the ball, even the special teams. The special teams and Dave Tobe, they've done a great job. I mean, the fake field goal punt, pooch kick by Harrison Butker, down by Tommy Towns. I mean, it was just like, that was a wild play. Like, I didn't think that was ever going to happen, but it happened. And whenever you have all sides of the ball playing up to their strengths, it's a very great thing to see. And I think the Chiefs are going 13-4.
All right. We got some homerism here on the podcast. With Caden, with it being your very first appearance on the podcast, for the loyal listeners on the show, if you have a social media, any social media accounts that you would be willing to promote, now is the time to list it off. What's something that you'd like to give to the audience?
So I write for Fansided. Just type in Casey Kingdom. Instagram is Caden Carbajo 2. Twitter is Caden Carbajo. That's about it. Make sure to keep hitting the follow button or whatever. It was a pleasure being on your guys' show.
Oh, yeah. But for those who are listening for the first time, you can follow us on Instagram at the Sports Mecca, as well as on Twitter at the Sports Mecca as well. Sam and I try to post episodes every 2 weeks. We try to get different guests on, different sports athletes, different sports figures. But today we felt like it was a great opportunity with the Chiefs having a bye that we'd be bringing a new episode about the Chiefs as they try to get the second half of the season started and maybe continue their Super Bowl quest. But Caden, Sam and I appreciate you taking the time to come on today. And we greatly appreciate your thoughts on the Chiefs and coverage of football.
My pleasure. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Caden.
That foolish heart turns out the stars. All that I am is all that you see. You don't.